First of all, on a personal level, I mode HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I stand before you at this moment, at this time, with such an august audience. And in the audience, I have a great-grandson listening to his great-grandfather. And mode HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal tell us it's Yerushalmi in Shkolim, Perek Bet. Eino sin nefashot l'tzadikim. Divreihem heim heim zichronam. We don't have to build a refashimler, we don't have to build a matseva for a great tzaddik. His teachings, what he has impacted upon us, that is his memory. That is the greatest tribute we can pay to him, better than any matseva. And this evening, I'd like to speak about what we, particularly to my many students here, what we can learn from a baron. How can we improve our own religious gestalt in tribute to such an individual that we were privileged to know and study with? You all, or many of you, heard the eight hespedim at the funeral. I gave a mini hesped that very morning when I found out the news after my class in the Kollel. And one theme that constantly repeated itself was Rabbanan's great hatmada. And I can testify, I never knew a bigger matmid in my life. And I want to share with you two stories. One out of the past that I described in my seventh volume in Washington, which I was an eyewitness to, an ear witness, time after time. The whole yeshiva was a small yeshiva. It's a tremendous advantage to being a small yeshiva. I had the privilege coming into Talmudical Academy, uptown, 1951, and within a few days, I would say, I already knew every good kid in the yeshiva. I was 13. Reb Aaron was 18 and a half, perhaps, at the time. I knew every good kid in the yeshiva within a few days. And we became chaverim, we became friends. We were all seeking and searching the same lifestyle, Torah Hashem Tamima. Every night, it wasn't like today. The Beis Medrash was fairly empty. Kids went home. Many lived in the Bronx, Manhattan. Even some of the Brooklyn kids commuted and did their homework, high school, college. Two matnidim returned to the Beis Medrash. One was a kid from Brooklyn named Aaron Lichtenstein. You all know that everyone called him the Babe at that time. He had a round face. That was his nickname that anyone from that era refers to him by, out of covet, I would say. And the other person was a fellow from Baltimore, Gershon Sadowski. Gersh's father was yet a musmach of the Mechita and Rabbi Revel out of the 1920s. And Gersh was a tremendous musman. Both he and Reb Aaron had tremendous heads. And they would learn at night. And we kids used to place bets. Who would leave the Beis Medrash last? And we'd come in the morning, and there was Sam Purvis. He was the janitor of the yeshiva. When he was janitor for 25 years, Rabbi Belkin honored him. And at the dinner, Rabbi Belkin said, "Mr. Purvis, yeshiva loves you. We're in debt to you. We're honoring you. But please, don't ask me to give you smicha." And the janitor, we'd come in and Sam would go, "Gersh, 105, the big babe, 108. And that meant that Reb Aaron was there 3 minutes later than Gersh. But we were just carried away, the hatmada. Many years later, the Lichtensteins lived around the corner from my family in Yerushalayim. I live in Rav Berlin, they lived in Rav Brody when they first came to Israel 2 years after we did. And that time, of course, I was still young, and many questions came my way. I always consulted with Reb Aaron. So one time I said, I'll come to see you at night. It had to be like 10:30 at night. Today I'm asleep by that hour. But I was much younger. 10:30 was still, you alive, awake, alert. And I come into Reb Aaron, and I'm describing it as it was. He's sitting, everyone else is asleep. It must have been a 15-watt bulb. And he's holding a rush, the back of the Gemara, he's in a rush. It's a little print. And I said to him, Aaron, look at the light. How weak. He looked at me, you know. He was so immersed in learning. Lights, comfort, it meant nothing to him. His world, kulo hatmada hashka'ah, that was Reb Aaron, and we have to try our best to emulate him. But if you heard the Hespedim, every Maspid repeated the same theme. What was dominant to them was Reb Aaron's normalcy. Everyone quoted the pasuk from Yaakov Avinu, Hasulam Mutzav Atza, Vidosho Magia Hashemayama. Now, everyone heard this. I don't know how many people could appreciate the depth of what was being said. All my life I've been privileged to know intellectual giants, geniuses, Eluim, some of my teachers, some of my classmates, some of my students. And they face a tremendous problem. You can be a Gaon, but in Hebrew the word Shigaon is very close to Gaon. There's only one little shin that stands between them. And what was amazing about Reb Aaron, his feet, his personality, were totally, completely on the ground. We knew him as a giant, as a genius, and concomitantly, he was one of the boys. He was part of us. He lived in this world. When they asked him, everyone spoke about this at the Halvaya, when people asked him, Rebbe, what is your greatest achievement? Without batting an eyelash, he said, the beautiful family that I raised. And that is a sign of normalcy. The mind is bashamayim, but the feet are on the ground. And here I'll share with you a little anecdote that I'm probably the only one in the world that can tell this anecdote, and probably one of the few in the world who can appreciate it. I've always told my students time and again in the Kol who Reb Aaron, it's hard for me to say was, who Reb Aaron is. And I said, with all his gauntlet, Reb Aaron is probably one of the last people alive, if not the last one, that can give you the starting lineup for the Chicago Cubs in the 1945 World Series. The last World Series in which they appeared. And Reb Aaron and I, the gleam in our eyes when we would speak about Phil Cabaretta. And I challenge any knowledgeable baseball person here one day, give a lecture on the career year of Phil Cabaretta, 1945, and what we can learn from that as well. And that was Reb Aaron. I can tell you endless stories from the Gush, with baseball, with the Americans. His mind was there, but his feet were firmly on the ground. And then I want to say something else that's very important, particularly to students who are going into chinuch, going into the rabbinate. There's a Rosh Yeshiva shall remain nameless. When he started teaching in the United States in the 1930s at RJJ, he had a picture of Rav Avram Yitzchak Cook on the wall. Decades later, by the time the 70s came around and he was in a different yeshiva, and well-known and a famous Rosh Yeshiva and a majestic personality, he published an article that the Zionists were responsible for the Holocaust. That article appeared in Jewish Observer. It brought great response, great controversy. And this was the same Rosh Yeshiva who had long since taken off the picture of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Now, can you imagine the difference in the students that he raised in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, as he went through this period of engendering a totally different ideology than the one he originally had? And the truth of the matter is, Chazal have a debate. Shlomo HaMelech wrote Shir HaShirim, Mishle, Kohelet, what was the order in which he wrote it? But it seems the most logical approach was that he wrote Shir HaShirim in his youth, Mishle in middle age, and Kohelet when he reached older age. That's very dangerous for a Muhammad, because that means that your students who studied with you when you were in your 20s are going to be markedly different in their understanding of your concepts of Torah and Mesorah than your students who studied with you when you were in your 60s and 70s. A great Malamed has to live all three periods at once. And here too, I have to say, and I've known the Baron since 1951. My neighbor, Dr. Sam Dershowitz, knows him since 1949 when he and Aaron were classmates in Yeshiva College. Sam coming from BTA and Rabban coming from Chaim Berlin, and they were classmates. And Sam and I both said the same thing walking to shul the other morning. What was amazing about Rabban? Shir HaShirim, Mishle, Kohelet. Interchangeable. The man never changed. He was the same Rabbi. The time he would turn 21, he turned 21. His hakmadah, his understanding, his dedication, his davening, his tzidkut, his chesed, exactly the way we remember him more than half a century ago, is exactly the way his talmidim of just a year ago or 2 years ago recall him today. And this too is a fabulous lesson that we can learn from Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. But let me go one step further, and most important for us, sitting in a branch of an august institution known as Yeshiva University. YU is not just a school, it's an idea. It leads the Torah world. Those who want to believe that we live in two worlds, that to quote the Rav, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem, that we have to live as a Ger v'toshav. We are different than the rest of the world. We're Gerim, Shabbat, Kashrut, Karach Mishpacha, our Talmud, our learning, whoever heard of a religion where for a Litvak, the greatest mitzvah you can have is the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. On the other hand, with Toshavim, we're members of the world. Halavai, one of our students who goes into medical research, should discover the ultimate cure for cancer. Every Toshav will benefit. So we who live in that world, and I'm not here to debate with anyone, or dialogue with anyone, or to go into any lecture now, wherein the Rav is different than Rav Shimshur Phil Hirsch, what is the difference between Torah Mada, the Torah and Derek Heretz? Rav Aaron lived in these two worlds, I would say, so naturally. It was just a magnificent example of Shir and Shas and Paiskin, and he could always take a moral from the best of world literature. It was overwhelming. In that respect, he resembled the Rav. He resembled the Rav's mother, Rebbetzin Pesha. Those of you familiar, the Rav's magnum opus, Isha Halacha, where the Rav quotes the greatest writers of modern Hebrew and the lessons we can learn from them. You saw Rabbi Aaron with world literature at his fingertips. And here again, I want to relate an anecdote. When I came in Aliyah 46 and a half years ago, it was a different Israel, a much smaller country, very primitive. When I came, the old-timers were telling me, you're complaining about what you found here, what we had 20 years ago, you know. But all right, I sound like the old-timers of 69, that's what I sound like right now. But it was a much smaller primitive country. Those of you who recall, Shaarei Tzedek Hospital was on Rehov Yaffa, and lo aleinu, the funeral parlor was right on the side of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. And right next to the shuk, a block away, where people were walking with baskets and carrying food and fruit and vegetables and bread and all that you could buy in the shuk, on the street, that's where the Hespedim were held at a funeral. And there was a funeral in the mid-70s, I remember which funeral it was even. The son of this individual who died young was a student in Har Etzion. He later went on to become a major general, or what they call here a lieutenant general, which I never understand. And a luf is called a lieutenant, and a brigadier general, at times they call a major general, but it was a full general of the Israeli army. His father died. And I was at the funeral because his mother worked in BMT, she was the secretary. And there was a big crowd there from the bush. And in the middle of the funeral, I still shake when I think of it. Here you're holding the stretcher, you're standing around 60, 70 people of rubbers being masped. And in the middle of the funeral, the Hevra Kadisha comes over and gruffly says, we have another funeral. If you've got to continue to pay them, go down the street and push this down the street in the middle of the funeral. Fine. A few weeks later, Rabban had a press conference at the Gush. The word press conference is misleading, but what it means is every few weeks he would have a special session with the students where they could ask any questions they want. So at the press conference, and students can be wise, Alex, and can be, you know, smarter than you, and they know it all. And a student gets up and asks in a lunch foot, Rebbe, in color kavod, lama anachnu tzrikim lumot safrut shel ha'olam, safrut kiyumit kavod. Asking Rabbi Lichtenstein, a man who has a PhD in literature from Harvard University, without batting an eyelash, Rabban responded, do you remember the funeral 2 weeks ago? Yes. What happened during the funeral? Did you think that was right? Terrible. So Rabban says, had the Hevra Kadisha studied Hamlet and his description of death, do you think they would have behaved the way they did? And the audience broke out in applause. That was Rabban. It was effortless, without debate, without discussion. Ger v'toshav anochi imachem, and how he could pull gems out of general literature to enhance our Torah concepts and our Torah commitment. But let me go one step further. I'm watching the clock because we have a lot of speakers after me. Let me go one step further and most important. We are forging a new Torah people in the state of Israel. These are new circumstances. For 2,000 years, who could dream that the Jewish people would have a state, an army, a police force, a foreign ministry, that our planes would be taking off to go to areas of catastrophe all over the world with tons of equipment and endless help and fabulous medical doctors and nurses, all Jewish people, many of them B'nai Torah with total commitment to all that is holy in our tradition. It's a new type of people. It's a crossroad in Torah history. What has happened here in the last 67 years, where we were at with Ben-Gurion, and where we're at today, Baruch Hashem. And it will only get better. But as we forge this new identity, Rabbanan becomes infinitely more important because he was a link to our glorious past. Who is Rabbanan? And no one mentioned this at the Hespeda, maybe nobody knows it. When Rabbanan entered the yeshiva in 1949, he was put into the Lumshah Rav's class, Reb Moshe Shatzkes. And Reb Moshe Shatzkes, do you know who we're talking about? This is Reb Yitzchak Blaser's son, whom Reb Yitzchak Blaser adopted. He married a woman who had been orphaned with four children. And he raised four more and the original four, eight children. And the greatest among them was Reb Moshe Shatzkes, Lumshah Rav. The Rav would stand up for him. He knew all of Yoredeya by heart with every Shach and Taz. And Reb Aaron went into his class, and of course, Milanu Kyotegadol Reb Aaron, Sam Dershowitz told me, every class, Reb Moshe Shatzkes would go on, and Shas and Paiskim at his fingertips, no one understood a word. After class, they were divided in half. Reb Aaron Lichtenstein repeated the shiur to one group of guys, and Rabbi Feldblum, if you remember the name, Reb Meir Simcha Feldblum, repeated the shiur to the other. So you see Reb Aaron, the Lumshah Rav, Reb Aaron Soloveitchik, whom Reb Aaron adored, Reb Yitzchak Hutner, whom Reb Aaron looked up to, there was reverence for him. The Rav, I need not tell you, Reb Aaron was a link, what the Rav called him, in my humble opinion, his most famous piece of Agada Torah, the Hesped for Reb Chaim Heller, Pleitatzof Rehem. Reb Aaron was a remnant of all the greatness of yesteryear. And once again, coming back to a press conference at a lunch foot that deeply affects me into this very moment. Reb Aaron was asked, 1980, I know the person who asked it, I know the Israeli who asked it, his sister married someone who studied with us in this very kollel. And Reb Aaron was asked the question that you can debate, I've debated it with my grandchildren, I've debated it with my students in class. Reb Aaron was asked, who, Rebbe, who do you feel closer to? The Chiloni in North Tel Aviv, in modern Hebrew, what is the slang for it? The Tzvoni, the Northerner? Or do you feel closer to the Chassid in Geula? And Reb Aaron answered immediately, I'm much closer to the Chassid in Geula. And the students argue, and this is a quagmire that we all face, the great divide, the army, the children growing up here, those who serve, those who don't serve. But ultimately, who do you feel closer to? And this was part of Reb Aaron's message. And one time, I'll never forget, the secular press interviewed him when the name Reb Aaron Lichtenstein was becoming known in the state of Israel. And they asked Reb Aaron again, one of these thought-provoking, chutzpahdik questions. No, how can it be a Rosh Yeshiva, great Talmud Chacham, doesn't have a beard, doesn't have payas, doesn't wear Rabbani Shekleda? How can it be? And Reb Aaron in his genius gave an answer that will move on as long as the Jews walk the face of the earth and Mechanchim know how to teach Torah. He said, tell me, which is more important? Tzva Haganah LeYisrael, where everyone has a uniform, everyone can be readily identified, or the Mossad, where nobody has a uniform, and it's a little hard to identify who they are. Don't we need both role models? And that too, we who are machanchem have to learn from Rabbi. So let me summarize and let me conclude. There is so much to say about Rabbah, and I'm sure those who will follow me will clue you in as Talmidim looking at their Rebbe. But I just want to express myself as a Talmid Chava of Rabbah, how much he has meant to me, the role he has played in my life and in my teachings and my relationship with my students, the standard bearers of Torah Hashem tomorrow. And these are some messages, there are many more. Let me conclude and let me say something that hit me today between the eyes after I gave shir this morning and I drove home and I started thinking, tell me, how many years was Rabbaran the head of Haaretz Zion? And all that developed in Eretz Yisrael, make the cheshbon, 44 years, 1971 until today. How many years was the Rav, the guiding spirit, the lodestar, the golden standard at Yeshiva University? 44 years, 1941 to December 1985, Hanukkah, when this last Shemur was given. Tell me, is the Rav still alive? And I don't mean this in a Chabad sense in asking the question. Is the Rav still alive? Chai v'kayim. The Rav always taught us, we are an eternal people. We're not limited by time. To our children, to our grandchildren, to our great-grandchildren, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov mean more than contemporary politicians and names that are in the news every day. On that level, we are eternal. The Rav spirit guides us with ever more light, with ever more dedication. And Rav Aaron will live with us as long as Jews will walk the face of the earth, and his teachings will help us and guide us as we create a Torah Jew who is at home on the holy soil of Eretz Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael. Yehei Zichro Baruch. Thank you very much.